Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. The preaching text assigned to me today is the Exodus story, chapter 16, 1 to 18. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Title of the sermon is God Provides. I like stories that tell how God provides for us. And here is one of my favorites. I was co-hosting a radio show several years ago called Heritage Line with Bob Olson of radio station WMPL in Hancock, Michigan. We had a call-in guest that shared the story of his being an immigrant and arriving in the Copper Country for the first time. He said, "My young wife and I decided to leave Finland and get a fresh start in Michigan. We left family and friends back home. We heard that there were jobs to be had in the copper mines and other opportunities too. We arrived first at Ellis Island in New York, then we took a train to Chicago and then on to Hancock. Once we arrived there, we left the train and we started walking up the street. There was slag rock from the mines all over the place. It was dusty and dirty, and then we heard mining company whistles and noise, and it shocked my dear bride. She began to cry and started wondering, why did we ever leave our familiar home in Finland? As we walked, she stubbed her toe on something, and I reached down and picked it up. It was a paper bag. It didn't have a rock in it. Instead, it had a loaf of bread. So I gave her the bread and I said, this is a sign of better times ahead. God is already providing for us here in the wilderness. Let us trust in the Lord. Another familiar story about bread and faith is in the New Testament. Jesus has been preaching and teaching a big group of people that are out there in the countryside, and he's doing very well, and time is passing on, but everybody is beginning to get hungry. And the only provision that was available out there, because nobody had brought their picnic lunch, I guess, was this young lad who had a few loaves and some fishes. Jesus says, bring them here. He took the bread and the loaves and he gave thanks and they began distributing it. And in due time, the miracle occurred and 5,000 people were fed that afternoon and there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Another story. Let us trust in the Lord. God provides for all. All share in the hospitality of the world's goods. So one loaf of bread for a weary traveler in Upper Michigan in the North Country, and Jesus feeding 5,000 people in the Holy Land. Now, as good as these stories are about how God provides, the tale today from the book of Exodus is amazing about our awesome God who provides for all the people. The text that was read earlier about the bread and the birds as food for the people, the Israelites, is part of a larger drama that we can find in the book of Exodus. I started reading various chapters and I found myself going from chapter 12 all the way to chapter 17. And it occurred to me that we have here a drama that has three major acts of God. In Exodus 12, we read that God is sending Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. They have been slaves to the Egyptian Pharaoh for 430 years. And Moses goes to the ruler and he says, "Let my people go." And then there's the miracle by Yahweh, God, to provide for the Israelites a way to freedom. It's not by traveling over the Red Sea or around the Red Sea, but through the Red Sea. God parts the waters and the Israelites go through a highway of sorts. And once they get to the other side, God brings back the waters and the soldiers who were out to do the men are themselves drowning in the waters. Now, immortalized as the Exodus event, this story is the beginning of freedom for the chosen people, the people of Israel. And it's a memory to recall every year by the Jewish faithful in the world. That is Act 1 of God. Now, we're going to skip Act 2 for a moment, and we're going to go to Act 3. In chapter 17, we discover that Moses and the Israelites are now moving towards Mount Sinai because God's people do not live by bread alone. Yahweh needs to provide them his word in a dramatic way. So Moses goes to the mountain and he's given the Ten Commandments. And what are these Ten Commandments on two big tablets? They are a covenant for the people to know and to honor God and to relate to one another with love and justice. The Ten Commandments are the law from God to be obeyed by Jews and Christians alike. So between the Exodus event, Act 1, and the Mount Sinai giving of the law, Act 3, that brings us back to Act 2, the text of today, which is an amazing feeding miracle by God. Before going further, I pause to ask a question. How many people do you think crossed the Red Sea with Moses, and how many needed food and nourishment when they reached the desert place called Sin, Sin? Any thoughts about how many Israelites were there? Thousands? Hey, we're getting closer. I'll tell you what, it starts out in chapter 12, verse 7. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. And one biblical commentator estimates that the total number was upwards of 3 million people. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. That is impressing, a lot of mouths to feed. And while reading this story, I thought also that God is about to feed a large group of refugees. God cares about refugees. To be a refugee means that you have fled your country, and that's what happened to them. And to seek refuge in another country is not a choice, but it's the last resort. In so many cases, refugees are fleeing an oppressive government like the Egyptian Pharaoh prior to the Exodus event. Yes, God cares for the Israelite refugees. They're hungry for food, and they're wondering if they should have stayed in Egypt as slaves. But Moses and Aaron go before the people and say, "Let us trust in the Lord. God will provide." And then the story of how 2.5 or more million people were fed by God is a remarkable story. Just picture this. God's supernatural power combines with natural resources in a method of feeding that was orderly and efficient. The manna in the morning was a dewy frost that the people could bake, and the quails in the evening could be boiled for eating. This feeding miracle of the birds and the bread sustained individuals and families for their time in this desert called Sin. This experience of the Israelite community after the Exodus may prompt you, as it did me, to ask the question, how is God caring for refugees today? There were so many of those refugees that Moses brought out. So here's another question. How many refugees are there in the world today, worldwide? Any guesstimates? 1 million? More? A lot more. According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, it has registered 21.3 million refugees of an estimated 65 million forcible displaced people in the world. That is a lot of people. The UN organization seeks to provide protection for many of them, but most of these refugees will never be offered resettlement in a third country. Some displaced persons have become a special mission and ministry of our Lutheran Church, with leadership being provided by the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services Organization. LIRS has welcomed more than 500,000 migrants and refugees to the United States through the initiative of Lutheran congregations that inspired LIRS formation in 1939. And Lutheran churches throughout the country and around the world remain vital partners as they continue to welcome newcomers. Now, the story of just one individual or family is inspirational and informative and demonstrates how this caring by God is taking place. A welcoming community and a hospitable congregation help newcomers to adjust, acclimate, and succeed in a new environment. And here is a story of one family who trusted in the Lord, and God provided them with many blessings. In 1975, Yum Tham was 3 years old when she migrated to the United States from Vietnam with her parents, and they arrived at Fort Chaffee, Georgia. Then they learned they could be resettled in Moline, Illinois. And they were sponsored there by Calvary Lutheran Church. Once they arrived there, her parents enrolled in English language classes in the local community college, and Yum began attending public school. When she reached the fifth grade, she began taking music lessons with the other kids, and her talent and her passion for music and education flourished over the years. After her graduation from high school, she enrolled at Augustana College in Rock Island, one of our ELCA colleges. That's my alma mater too. Yay, Augie. She excelled in vocal and instrumental music, with the cello being her special gift. She graduated in 1994 with her bachelor's degree and continued to study for her master's. In 2004, she moved to the Chicagoland area and is now a gifted teacher in local schools and is active at Christus Victor Lutheran Church in Elk Grove Village, where Carol and I belong. When schedules permit, we get to see her and her new husband at a Monday evening Bible study group, the Wednesday evening choir rehearsal, and in Sunday worship. There she will often provide cello solos with the choir anthems. Yesterday I talked with her on the phone, and she told me that her bright future happened in the United States because of loving parents, dedicated teachers, and Calvary Lutheran in Moline. That congregation welcomed them warmly, involved them in their parish life, and supported her growth in faith and life. She named several families at Calvary that have become her role models and their pillars in the church. There are other stories that could be told, and maybe a story or two from this congregation or others in Elgin. So while giving God thanks for the life and emerging career of our friend Yim Pham, I also praise God for the ministry of the Lutherans Immigration and Refugee Service. Its mission and ministry is lifted up in ELCA congregations every year with an LIRS Sunday and outreach activities in the community. Well, it's been a joy to share with you this morning several stories how God provides for people who are going through transitions in life and blesses us with good things. An immigrant found a loaf of bread and trusted in the Lord. 5,000 people heard Jesus preached and were miraculously fed by loaves and fishes, and God was at work there too. The Israelites escaped bondage in Egypt in the Exodus event, and soon after being brought to the Sin Desert, they hungered, and there God provided daily bread and birds to sustain them on their journey. And we shared the story of Yim and how the local Lutheran congregation in LIRS helped her and can assist others. What are we talking about? God's work, our hands. This is the ministry we share in the ELCA. Amen.